Why, hello and welcome. Welcome to the Peer Pressure Podcast. I am Diane, sometimes known as Diane Kamikaze, and I am your host. The reason why I do this podcast is because I like to say I am a champion of heavy music. I've always found my favorite songs since I was a young kid had riffs, hooks, were either metal, hardcore, hard rock, or punk, or something fairly aggressive in attitude and sound. And I am all about appreciating the people that keep that world going, whether they're musicians, webmasters, other podcasters, record label and festival owners. It's important to me to recognize what these people do in that realm of music. So, I am here to bring them to you in a different context, more than a Wikipedia entry or a press release, a little more personal and a lot more fun. I'm a rocker for life, and I hope these episodes do make a difference. Send me feedback at diane@wfmu.org, and my Facebook page is Diane Kamikaze Farris, Rocker for Life. Like my page there, and I will keep everybody updated on podcast episodes in that space. Thanks so much for listening, and stay tuned. So, welcoming Dave Edwardson of Neurosis today. There's a part in the in today's recording, and this is from September 2011, the original program. There's a moment where Dave says he wishes that I would do a podcast, and now Dave is on my podcast. It might sound a little disjointed to you because it was primarily a DJ set and him back announcing, and I can't include the actual songs. So we bounced around in our conversation a little bit. But Dave is so great and so much fun to talk to that you gotta hear him. So it's Dave Edwardson. Stay tuned. It is time for our peer pressure segment. My guest today is Dave Edwardson of Neurosis. Dave, are you there?
I am here. Did you get the magic button?
Is he? I did. I got the magic button. Station manager Ken called me, and we figured it out.
Ah, excellent. And I'm glad the station manager was listening.
Yeah, he's doing all types of things. We're getting a little bit of rain, and he's placing buckets in strategic positions.
Ah, okay.
Among other things. So, yes. Thank you so much for joining us today.
We're very, my pleasure.
Yeah, very excited. The kinds of things that you're going to be playing today are mostly music that you're involved with. Is that right?
Yes, it's an hour of shameless self-promotion and nepotism.
Can you just talk about how busy you are? And I don't know how you sleep, actually, just in terms of getting time.
Yeah, I was at band practice until about midnight last night, and now I'm at work and on a rather extended break that hopefully I don't get caught on. And
don't tell his boss.
I'm off to Portland, Oregon this weekend with Neurosis, headlining a show at the Roseland Theater, part of the Pacific Northwest Music Fest.
Wow.
Yep. Following weekend, I'm playing with my band Kicker. We're opening for Rorschach.
Yes, you are.
You guys know.
Yeah, at the Parkside. Yeah, that's going to be a killer show. Busy guy.
Yeah, and Neurosis is working on new material. We'll be recording in December, new album. And out in wonderful cold Chicago.
Is that where do you usually record there? Or?
Yeah, we've been with Steve Albini, I believe, 5 times now we've recorded with him. So it's become quite a thing for us.
And what's that experience like, recording with Steve?
He's really laid back. I think people get the wrong impression because he's very strong-minded and opinionated about things. But as far as recording goes, I mean, he's just a very straightforward guy, and he just does a hell of a job. He gets things set up very fast. I'm used to going in the studio before him and, you know, spend a day setting up, getting sounds, maybe come back the next day and start recording and adjust a few things. With him, we're set up and recording the first day. You know, we're probably 3-4 hours in. We're recording. Usually we've got two songs in the can the first night. In fact, we depend on that kind of schedule now. We're 6 days and we've got an album recorded and mixed.
Are you kidding?
No.
Wow. Wow.
The last one was 6 days. This one's going to be 6 as well.
Wow. I mean, just from like the thickness and the layering of the sound of Neurosis, it just sounds like it would take, you know, months. And you hear about those sort of like the classic rock records that were like, oh, that took 6 months to make and, you know, all those kind of crazy things. So you guys are pretty efficient.
Yeah. And we just actually, you know, bash it out live with a couple little overdubs here and there. And of course, we overdub the vocals. So it'd be rather loud to try to capture vocals while we're playing, but
right,
90% live.
And how much does Neurosis rehearse in general?
Not as often as one would think, but we do a lot of swapping back and forth of Pro Tools sessions. We demo songs and swap tracks and put things together that way. And then as far as a full band, we don't really rehearse all that often. But, you know, we've been playing with each other so long, it's second nature to just play together. Yeah.
Very cool. What can you tell us, the listeners, about
Carrieson? Was some nice guys, Nico in particular, who runs the label Destructure. I kind of met him online because my computer stopped downloading because of a power outage from a Taint record that I was given from Taint, and you get a one-shot free download of the vinyl, and it went out, so I emailed the owner of the label, and he emailed me back like, hey, here's a new download code for you. By the way, is this David of Neurosis? And I said, yes. And he's like, oh, you've mixed and mastered some stuff I've done. And I was like, oh, yeah, of course, that's right. I have a friend's band called Dimlaya, who's actually Carl, the old bass player from His Hero Is Gone.
Wow.
Yeah, I recorded, mixed, and mastered few records from them, and I said, I knew the label Destructure sounded familiar, and I looked it up online, and I'm like, oh, okay, he does all sorts of great music that I know and love. It's a French label, and he said, hey, I've got a band, and we want some, we're going to ask you anyway to do some guest vocals, and now I have your email, would you like to do some guest vocals for us? And I said, sure, and he sent me a big package of their stuff, and I really like the Carrieson stuff, and he sent me a track, and I said, yes, I could definitely do this. So that was a great pleasure, and I just got to meet him about a month and a half ago when Neurosis toured Europe and played in Paris, and he was a great guy.
Oh, so how long had you been corresponding with him before you met him?
Probably about a year and a half.
Oh, cool. That's great.
Yeah. Got to meet him in person. I know one of your listeners called and asked about Iron Vegan.
Yes.
Yeah, we're kind of an on-again, off-again Iron Maiden cover band that probably hasn't played in about 3 or 4 years, but yeah, we play, you know, everything off, through the good Bruce Dickinson material, and of course, all sorts of Paul Di'Anno stuff. But everyone's in different bands and real busy.
Will there be an appearance of Iron Vegan anytime soon?
Oh, of course, there's eventually going to be some more Iron Vegan, I reckon. we take 2 or 3 years off here or there. It's been about that long again, so it's probably due sometime soon.
Nice.
Amongst all my other projects, one of which I believe is up next, my slightly new-ish band, Kicker, who's got a full-length coming out on the Taint Crimes record, and I'm also providing a video, which just got released yesterday from the album, for a song called Lager and Chips. It's got a lot more FCC F-bombs in it to delete, so I went in and I just put a cough sound over the relatively cleaner song, Not You.
And thanks for doing that work.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And I've got some friends from high school who I used to play in a band called Sacrilege BC with, a heavy metal band.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thrash band. Some of them, along with Snake, the guitar player for Skin Lab, got together. Yeah, small world, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He does all the recording for stuff. A friend of mine, Streffen, who is a singer for Sacrilege, has a company called November Fire, and he does t-shirts and stuff, and there's going to be a link to the site for that as well. And he's a fan of all things horror. He realized that a lot of the classic horror movies, which he really likes, are copyright free, and they were also silent films. So what he decided to do was track down the best transfer to video he could, or he actually found some guy that owned some 35 millimeters of old films and actually paid quite a bit of money to have them transferred very high rate to a digital format. And then he wrote dialogue for all the films, had the aforementioned friends score a bunch of stuff for it. He put in sound effects and everything. And the second DVD, which is The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, and previous to that, he released Nosferatu. Mm. And my wife and I both do some quote-unquote acting in those as well.
Oh, so these are DVDs.
These are DVDs, and they're available as a CD soundtrack. So, you know, some of the songs aren't played full-length in the movies, but we just did, you know, full-length songs, and then he used as much as he could in the film, in the background scenes.
Neat.
Yeah.
So the next band that we're hearing is Kicker, which you mentioned, and you are in Kicker, is that correct?
I'm the bass player in Kicker.
You are the bass
player. I play bass in The Monkey and the Mermaid, and I recorded that, and it's my wife singing.
So we're going to hear some Kicker now. Okie doke, so that was Kicker with Not You. My guest is Dave Edwardson. Dave?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm here.
Welcome back. And, yeah, so that Hobgoblin thing is really super cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fun project to be involved with. Those guys are great horror metal soundtrack writers. And some of it's not so metal either. Or... anything like
that.
Well,
a lot of it, I'm guessing, could be really ambient for some of those.
Yeah, but some of it's just kind of goofy music, more like period piece music for what you'd expect.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of stuff. Accordions and tubas and the like.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever attempted the tuba yourself?
No, I played... my first instrument was recorder when I was a very young child, and then I moved up to saxophone and trumpet, and then was into rock and roll, and I'm like, what the heck am I doing playing stupid instruments?
Carrying around a bunch of brass.
Yeah, give me a bass.
Yeah.
Get me a bass for my 13th birthday, Father, and he did.
Wow.
And the rest is history.
It is. It is, it is, it is. And did you play with Zounds recently?
I did indeed. That was something else I didn't mention with all my busyness. Yes, a few days after getting back from Neurosis Tour, a friend contacted me and said that Steve Lake of Zounds is in America, and I'd heard that while I was gone. He played a show out here just by himself, and he had another show coming up, and a drummer friend of mine had spoken to him and said, hey, I'd love to play drums with you if you want to put together, you know, more of a three-piece live band for some of the songs in your next live set. And he said, sure, find me a bass player and I'd love to have you along for the ride. So a good friend of mine, Jason, who plays in Cross-Stitched Eyes and a great band called Alaric, and we were actually together in a band called The Enemies, and he was also the person who started Iron Vegan, the Iron Maiden cover band we discussed a little while ago. So yeah, we quickly learned six of his songs, practiced with them twice, and had a totally amazing experience being, you know, briefly part of a half set of Zounds live.
Nice.
But he's actually got people in New York that he played with that's coming out to do a short West Coast tour with as well. So the night before the show that we're doing with Rorschach at the Parkside, I'll be at the Parkside again watching Steve play with some other guys.
Very good. You are one of the busiest guys out there, Dave.
Indeed. But it's all a lot of fun. I'm humbled, and it's a pretty good life when I get to make a lot of music in my spare time.
So a listener just says, ask Dave about Tomorrow's Reality.
Yes.
So what about Tomorrow's Reality, Dave?
What about it? I don't know. It didn't turn out to be the nightmare that I was predicting so much in that song, I guess.
Why did you think that?
I was a depressed teenager. It was all metaphorical, but I mean, it's still a pretty messed up world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was more what I was getting at in that song. That song is probably, you know, 22 years old or something. I don't know. It's a pretty old song there. But yeah, the opening track of side two of our second album, The Word is Law.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great song, one I'm very proud of. So I was doing lead vocals, and I get to do some little bass twiddly stuff in the beginning section. A lot of fun. I get those kind of kicks more out of Kicker and my other band, JFC, now, as far as playing fast, thrashy music and yelling.
Well, I think you still
kind of
get the
different direction.
You get
in a different way now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you get the opportunity to yell with Neurosis still a little?
I still do, yes, and the older stuff. Pull that out.
Mm-hmm. And what's the, I don't even know how briefly you can have, what's the writing process like with Neurosis?
Oh, boy. Each song kind of happens in different ways, but once we all get a hold of it, things just kind of happen by themselves, and unexpected things happen, and what was a guitar riff becomes the bass line, or becomes a keyboard line, and the guitar parts devolve, or, you know, it usually starts with someone with an idea, and they bring it in, but they just definitely take on a life of their own.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone starts pitching ideas at it. Sometimes things start with a drum beat, Jason, let's do something awesome in practice, and we're like, ha-ha, we like that, now you get to play that same thing that sounded amazing for 15 seconds. You get to do that for like a minute and a half and wear yourself out. Write a riff around that.
I'm sure Jason's got some regrets about certain songs, like, oh my God, why did I ever come up with this? I got to play this now for 7 minutes.
Yes.
Like the workout, the band workout.
Yeah.
Any other bands that you really support in terms of the Bay Area scene that you want to mention?
Let's see. Well, there was our roommates that just broke up over in the Kicker Room, that you and I have been emailing back and forth about as SEFer. You can imagine what both those words might be as far as, non-FCC compliant language goes. They have a cassette out on Tank Crimes, and, they're definitely kind of shisa grind, but they're actually very, very nice guys, and you know, singer's married and goes around and rescues feral cats and feeds them and stuff. So even though their lyrics might be more along the lines of, I can't think of any bands that are FCC compliant from that genre, but yeah, you might think that they're, you know, depraved lunatics, but they're not.
Mm.
That's one band. I'm playing a couple of the other ones I'm really into. I just mentioned Alaric, who I'm loving. I know someone just mentioned Newthrush, which is funny because I also share a practice room with them, a different rehearsal space.
Oh.
Got so many bands. And Newthrush just got back together, so they're playing around right now.
Yeah, I did just see them on, I saw them in Seattle.
Oh, right, yes. Yeah. You were mentioning. Yes, the power of the riff.
The power. Yes, indeed. And, you know, and I just want to thank you for myself and for the listeners for the power and the thunder that you have been bringing for years.
Yes.
You know,
can't keep me down. One way or the other, it all comes out.
Neurosis is one of those bands. That's it's really great to hear everything else that you're working on and what occupies you and sort of where your brain goes. Like, you know, there's sort of like quirky fun things and also other heavier things that you do, and it's neat to be able to get inside there, because Neurosis could be one of those bands where I guess if you I don't want to say if you took the music seriously, but if you really took it seriously, like, I would be afraid to talk to anybody in your band.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's kind of one of the opportunities I'm taking here is show people the other side of me, or the many other sides. Or
online, I looked for photos of you, and most of them, you've got your mouth open screaming. So I can't really find.
Right. Well, yeah. Photographers like that. It's a golden moment. Look, it's Dave. He's yelling. He looks mean and angry. But yeah.
Right.
I'm a nice guy, as I'm sure you can attest to.
Absolutely.
All the years of knowing me.
Yeah. Dave is the life of the party. You know,
yeah.
Dave is the one that I always end up talking to about music. It's like, yeah, we're at some show. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you guys are great. Oh, anyway. Oh, have you heard the new blah, blah, blah? That's what life is all about. You know?
Yes.
So, yeah. So
I like all sorts of different strange music. In fact, I should go ahead and give a shout out to some other WFMU stuff we listen to a lot down here. We listen to a heck of a lot of Cake and Polka Parade and Do or DIY.
Oh, very good.
Yes. And we would be listening to your show all the time down here if you were one of the privileged few that had the podcasts available from WFMU.
Ah, yeah, those are usually the shows that get that have got to be shows that are not playing licensed music. You know, it's about rights, you know, because technically I can't own all the music that I play and put it on a podcast. So it's
so
the podcasts are about... Like Do or DIY, I mean, Vicky just, you know, she creates all of that.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah, so, and mashups and YouTube found stuff, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And the free music archive, which you guys have as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we're all over WFMU down here.
Excellent. That's always...
By down here, I mean at my work, where I listen to music 8 hours a day.
Yeah, that's killer. At least you can.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Nick from Dazzling Killman says hi. And
yes.
Shout out to his new band, Zadax.
Zadax, yes. And Dave, who Russ got to play with. We played Dazzling Killman a few times, and that was a dazzling experience, and we were very happy to be able to play with Sick Bass. So now Neurosis has to play with Zadax sometime.
I guess so. You just said that it was a dazzling experience. Oh, that's awesome. And and Sick Bay played here a number of years ago. But the multi-talented Nick is out there in listener land as well.
Well, hello, Nick.
Can you talk about Los Baños?
Los Baños, that's my wife's band. You might notice some similarities to the Monkey and the Mermaid song stylistically somewhat because, she wrote both songs. Los Baños is the band that plays when her project Cycleside does their bike rodeo. So they're kind of like a punk rock bike circus sideshow kind of thing. They have these amazing huge pedal-powered rides, and then they put on about an hour-long bike rodeo where every song's got a different skit or theme, and there's, you know, cream pies flying at people. And all sorts of people, you know, there's bicycle mosh pits and just all sorts of general mayhem. There's people blindfolded on bicycles chasing after pinatas, all sorts of stuff. So they're just a silly bunch of fun, and I totally love it. And, yes, my wife is in the band. She sings and plays bass. Go figure, I married a bass-playing, singing woman.
There you go. Have you ever gotten a cream pie in the face? That's what we really want to know.
Oh, yeah, many times.
Oh.
You can't help it when you're there.
Right.
But I've thrown quite a few as well.
Oh.
I actually haven't been getting it so much lately because now I'm kind of their live sound guy, so hopefully the pies aren't flying towards the soundboard.
Yeah, getting the cream off of the underneath the faders and stuff.
Yeah.
Probably not such an easy job. And sticky. Sticky as well. But,
yeah.
Like not wanted.
Yeah, well, actually, it's not sticky. They don't use cream. It's cheaper to use shaving cream. Yeah, it looks like cream, but it's much cheaper. And yeah, the first time I saw them, I did make the mistake of going like, oh, look, I got whipped cream all over my arm. I'm going to lick it. Oops.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, now I see other people do the same thing.
Was it one of those flavored, I mean, not flavored, but the scented?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, it's a really cheap brand, Barbasol, they always get, and it's always like, yeah, the minty flavor.
Yeah, yeah.
menthol, I believe they call it.
Right, yeah, yeah. Menthol is definitely different from mint when you're ingesting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so we're going to hear first Los Baños. My guest is Dave Edwardson of Neurosis. He is spending part of the afternoon with us as your Peer Pressure DJ. And we're going to hear a couple songs that he has programmed, and then we'll be back talking to Dave. Stay tuned. It is 2 p.m. My special guest is Dave Edwardson of Neurosis.
Still here?
Yes, you're still there.
Still there.
Very good. And we just heard from Los Baños. I don't even know what else to ask you, really. I know that you're a big scene supporter, and you did mention a couple of bands already from the era. What is a Alaric? Is that what you...
Yes.
Is that A-L-A-R-I?
R-I-C, yes. A-L-A-R-I-C.
Okay.
Bunch of people from other bands, probably most notably the singer from Dead and Gone is singer, Shane
Baker.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
And our friend Jason, who I've been playing in a bunch of bands with, he was in the UK Subs for a long time.
Mm.
He's the singer of Cross-Stitched Eyes. He was in a band called The Enemies with the bass player who's in the band, and Russ, the guitar player for Newth Grush, is the guitar player in Alaric. But it's definitely not doom. It's kind of mid-tempo, I guess what they would probably call death punk.
Oh, okay.
Something between like Killing Joke, 45 Grave, Rudimentary Peni, just kind of, you know, dark punk.
Nice.
Almost death rock, but definitely more from the punk rock angle.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you, is there any Tribes of Neuro, anything going on with that project?
Yeah, it's something that's fallen off a bit lately, but we did something live about a year and a half ago. That's something we're certainly never going to drop, so that there should be something going on again with that soon once we get some of this Neurosis out of our system.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be time to go back and do some more of that, just because it's something that just kind of tends to happen on its own.
And does it happen sort of when you're in the writing process and at some point something is deemed like, oh, you know what, this is more Tribes than Neurosis, or?
Maybe. Yeah, the a lot of it comes about in very different ways. Sometimes we all get together and we're planning on doing a live show and we'll come up with a loose structure for things. Other times, one member of the band or another is just kind of rolling around in whatever home studio situation we've got going on and just kind of records some trippy ambient stuff, and we'll pass it around to the other guys, and lo and behold, we wind up with a bunch of material that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's all very off the cuff, you know, just random composition stuff.
Mm-hmm. And does the Los Baños, this is a question from a listener, does the Los Baños and the Cycle Show ever come out to the East Coast?
I think I wrote this in the email to you yesterday. I wish they did and were able to play more elsewhere, but they have so much stuff. They got a school bus that they fill the insides of, and the complete, like, the roof is just covered with bikes. And they have to have people, like, stand on the roof of the hoist to get all these pieces of their pedal-powered rides up there. And there's about 12 to 15 to 20 people involved in any, for any given show.
Wow.
With all the clowns and the band and everything. So it's a really big production. And, yeah, to drive a bus out to the East Coast is just expensive. Years ago, they used to tour. But, yeah, with the price of gas, it's a very expensive proposition just to even go down to, like, a big festival in Southern California, which they were doing every year. They were going to Coachella, and they've gone to Bumbershoot up in Seattle the past few years. But it's pretty much a regional thing just because people, you know, need to get time off of work to go on these long journeys, and it takes about a day and a half of setting up and breaking down, and it takes a long time for old slow school bus to get there, and just so much in gas that, yeah, it's something that definitely doesn't make it out to the East Coast. So, no. But if people want to go to cycleside.com, there is information all about them. You can see some awesome pictures of what they do.
And just to know what goes on behind the scenes and what it takes to put that show on. Well, and then, you know, and then what about, like, the show that Neurosis does? Even?
Yeah, put on a pretty big show, too. But at least we could fly to places and just rent most of the gear. So
we're
a lot more portable than they are, that's for sure.
And that's funny because as a band, you know, when people are like, oh, such and such is playing, such and such is playing, and you know, somebody will always say, oh, yeah, Neurosis, blah, blah, and I guess there's just this sort of reverence about, like, well, but what Neurosis does, like, it's a, you know, it's a big deal, and you know, I can't remember the last time that I've seen you where, like, there weren't visuals, or it's like everything has to be right.
Yeah,
you know, you kind of don't do a show half-assed. It's not like, yeah, we'll just throw our gear up and play. You know, that's not, because it's more of an experience.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of thought and a lot of work into every gig.
Oh, so now the listener who asked about the cycle show says, well, now I've got to go to California.
Yeah.
So that's all, you know, plan a little vacation. Can you just sort of tell me, like, what's in your iPod or your player or the last two or three records that you listened to just?
Worm Rot, Singapore Grindcore. Down at work, we listen to a lot of stuff on Ghostbox Records. Really, I don't know if you're familiar with that stuff. It's a Scottish label. We're a little bit confused down here if it's Scottish or English. I think the people are all from Scotland, but the label might be out of England.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like retro ambient stuff. There's a lot of BBC radiophonic stuff going on. Yeah, it's its own genre called Hauntology. That's kind of just creepy, odd, but very musical, ambient stuff. Yeah, I mean, a lot of it sounds like Doctor Who theme with like something slightly wrong played over it or something.
I love the term Hauntology.
Yeah.
That's great.
See, the Advisor Circle, the Focus Group, those are a couple of the bands on the label.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones we mostly listen to. Let's see, what else have we listened to recently? Three things on my iPod that I would have been listening to. We listen to a lot of Morbid Angel down here. Deathspell Omega is a biggie. Brian Eno. I like a lot of older punk or post-punk stuff. Wire is a huge favorite.
Yeah. I just played Colin Newman earlier in the program.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know my love of the Stranglers.
Yay!
Yes. Oh, yeah. We play quite a bit of residence down here. In fact, one of the guys here at work has got a relation in there. Oh, and Drew just showed me a piece of paper. Yes, Portal. We do listen to quite a bit of Portal down here.
Ah.
We just heard the album Sepia on Friday.
Oh, great. Oh, so like I'm interviewing your coworkers too.
Yes.
Very good. That's cool. Well, and thank you for cutting into your workday you know, to talk to us. Go check out JFC Kicker and everything else that Dave is associated with. Dave, I really want to thank you for being here and for doing, you know, you're at work.
Yeah.
And for your time and for all the preparation work Those of you listening probably heard a lot of bicycle bells and coughing, and you know, and we've been sort of talking about, you know, the FCC thing back and forth, and it's just it's a fact of life here at FMU, and Dave made everything airworthy. And we went through like what seemed to be hundreds of emails just about, oh no, wait, this song, well, how about that song? Oh, you know, and really, you know, Dave put in hours of pre-time aside from just being here now, you know, so I really want to thank you just for doing that to get on the show and, you know, sifting through the bootlegs and everything else. And then, you know, and thank you, of course, for just being a Neurosis. You know, it's like that's
welcome. You're welcome.
The grandpappy of heaviness, and it's the band that inspires people. So,
thanks.
And so, thank you very much for coming on the program. Is there anything else you want to say to the listeners, Dave?
No, just thanks so much for having me. It's been an opportunity, and it's fun to.
Yeah, and it was so much fun. Well, I mean, really, a whole varied. People are saying that they love the Bicycle Bells.
Oh, excellent.
Yay. Yeah, I think that was a good choice. And really apropos, you know, Parade of the Bikes, you know. So
very much.
So, very cute. So, all right. Well, thank you very much. And thanks for spending time, Dave.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that concludes another podcast episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. More on the way. I am Diane Kamikaze. Check my Twitter and my Instagram. Handle is one word, Diane Kamikaze. Kamikaze ends with an E. On Facebook, you can find me as Diane Kamikaze Farris, Rocker for Life and Making a Difference. The full link to my index of shows and podcasts can be found on wfmu.org/playlists/DK. That's a capital D and a capital K. I'm going to be working on encore presentations, and I've got years of interviews and podcasts. So if there's something that you'd like to see reposted that you missed, please get in touch. Send me email, diane@wfmu.org. And be sure to subscribe to the show. And if you like it, please rate it and review it. Wow. WFMU. Peer pressure. Thank you. See you next time.